Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of Scott Roche's Omniverse. Today we're going to be listening to Cardboard Time Machine. So this one is obviously a little time travel story. Bonus points if you can tell me at the end where I got the inspiration for it from. We're going to be... Before we get to the story, we'll listen to a promo from Taking It Down, a podcast from the Alabama Take podcast family of podcasts.
Streaming scattered, and we feel it. It's one reason for Taking It Down, the TV and streaming podcast from the site, the Alabama Take. Our scholarly, erudite, yet southern and working class hosts get TV recommendations up front to avoid spoilers for you to hear what's worth your time, and then insights on specific details of the shows later in the episodes. From trending shows to series you haven't even heard about yet, Taking It Down takes you down into depth episodes, deeper themes, and not just Easter egg hunting. It's an unpacking of universal truths that make each show and each of us resonate together. New episodes are in any podcast app every Tuesday morning. Taking It Down.
Okay, now on with the story for today. The day Jed's doorbell rang changed his life forever. He answered it, and there awaited what he would call the box. It was a simple thing, made up of cardboard and tape. On it, the words "Time Machine" were scrawled in a child's handwriting. He brought it inside, thinking of doing nothing more than throwing it in the recycle bin the following day. It proved to be heavier than he thought it would. He grunted with the exertion and stopped with it in the middle of his living room floor. "Who was at the door?" his lover Mel asked as he came down the stairs, toweling his bald head. "Dunno. Someone left this box on our door." Jed stood beside it, scratching his ear. If he'd stood behind the strange object, it would have concealed his 5-foot frame. Mel hung the towel from the banister, in spite of the fact that he knew it pissed Jed off. "Open it." "I was just about to do that." Jed fished the small pocket knife from his jeans and flipped the blade open. "How are you feeling after your shower?" He cut the tape, and rather than stand on tiptoe, ran the blade down one corner. "Better. Stomach still feels rotten." "Damn chemo." The blade got a third of the way down the box when he ran into a place he couldn't cut through. He closed the blade and grabbed the corner. With a heave that he hoped was manly, he ripped down and out. The flash of energy blinded him, and he felt himself fly backwards through the air. He hit what he thought was the wall of his apartment and blacked out. He didn't know how long it was before he woke up, but when he did, the sun was just beginning to rise. The stars were beginning to be washed out by pale pink light. He put his hands down to push himself off of the floor, and it felt spongy. "Stars?" he muttered to himself. He got to his feet, rubbing the back of his head. The smell that filled the air around him reminded him of the swamps of eastern North Carolina. "Mel! Hey, Mel!" He started to get worried. Somehow he'd gotten outside, and not just outside, but in a place that looked nothing like even the rural parts of Virginia they now called home. The plants, too, were swampy, though not like the ones he was vaguely familiar with. The ferns were massive, and the palm trees would have been more at home in Florida. Panic tightened his chest. "Where am I?" "Okay, don't freak out." The ground was covered in leaf litter and lush grass. He moved slowly in a circle and saw that the only path out looked like a broad game trail. Something huge had stomped the ferns flat. Thick cloud cover made the air even more humid than it had been the night before. When the sun was directly overhead, this day would truly suck. Itching to make progress before that happened, he walked towards the game trail. He used his knife to cut a 5-foot-long section from a strand of bamboo he passed. He sharpened one end to a point and pocketed the knife. Having it made him feel a bit safer, though what he was supposed to protect himself from, he didn't know. Jed made it about 30 yards before he fell into a depression about 6 inches deep. He hadn't been paying close attention to where he'd been setting his feet. The wild and rich plant life fascinated him to the point of distraction. He'd never seen anything like it before. One fern had a frond almost as long as his arm. Another plant had massive purple blooms his whole head would fit in. He used the bamboo spear to stand and looked at the pothole he found himself in. The pothole, shaped like a truly massive 3-toed footprint? He could have lain down in it and not had his head or feet touch the ends. What the hell? He looked around and didn't see the creature it belonged to. This is a dream. I'm still in my living room. Hell, Mel was probably trying to perform mouth to mouth. He pinched himself. Ouch. Okay, that didn't work. He saw a hill not too far away. Maybe if I climb that, I can find out where I am. He made it to the top after much exertion and hacking through the underbrush with his inadequate and now mostly dull pocket knife. Hillocky swampland stretched out as far as he could see in every direction. That didn't shock or surprise him as much as the large, colorful lizard. He supposed it was a dinosaur, and in his boyhood he would have been able to say what kind it was. Fear made that impossible. He wanted to scream, but it stuck in his throat. That was probably a good thing for him. He backed away from it, moving down to the bottom of the hill, and when he reached its base, he felt the ground and rolled up into a ball. He didn't know how long he lay there, but eventually he noticed that someone was tapping him on the shoulder. "Dude, you really need to get up and come with me. You shouldn't be here." The blonde boy's spiky hair didn't move in the slight breeze. He looked across Jed's body at someone. "No use. Pick him up and take him back to the time machine." Strong arms, covered in dense, sleek fur, encircled him and picked him up as though he weighed no more than a child. Jed closed his eyes and let himself be carried. He'd snapped. That must be it. He was being taken to the psych ward in an ambulance. The person who carried him smelled strongly of musk and reminded him of Sparky, the tabby he'd had when he was a kid.
"They told you giving that time machine to an adult was a bad idea."
His words were slightly muffled.
"Shut up, Chowderhead. How could I have known he'd try to cut it into pieces?"
The massive creature put Jed down softly on what felt like a cardboard floor.
"Keep your eyes shut, dude. You don't have safety goggles, and the pair I left for you are still at your apartment."
Jed had no trouble obeying that particular order. The sounds he heard were hard for him to describe, but reminded him of the noise Grandma's vacuum cleaner made when it threw a belt. Some time later, the sound eased, and he felt himself be moved again.
"You can open your eyes,"
the boy's voice assured him. "If it's all the same to you, I'd rather not." Jed shook his head slowly.
"You're home. We'll send you another time machine if you promise to use it wisely. Just make sure that it's pointed in the right direction when you want to take off."
The tiger's words, "he would be a tiger, wouldn't he?" were tinged with aggravation.
"You're never going to let me live that down, are you?"
There was a brief pause.
"If you think you'll use it, we'll send you a new one. I wanted to know if it would work for adults, and Dad wouldn't bite, so I picked someone from the phone book. You won. Let's go, Hobbs."
The vacuum cleaner fired up again, and the sound died away. The next voice he heard belonged to Mel.
Are you just going to stand out there all night, or are you going to tell me where the hell you've been? Jed opened his eyes and turned around. Mel's eyes were bloodshot, and he had bags under them. Jed ran and threw his arms around him. God, I've missed you so much. I missed you too. Mel squirmed free and took his lover by the arms. Where were you? What happened? Jed shook his head. I don't know that you'll believe me. Try me. I was thrown backwards in time. He described the whole experience and showed him the clay from his boots. It wasn't nearly enough until the new time machine materialized beside them. Assuming we haven't both lost our minds, Mel looked at the large cardboard box with its childish scrawl on one side. Where do you want to go? He put a hand on Jed's arm. Forward. Someplace where we can finally get married, and I can put you on my insurance. I've lived with enough dinosaurs for a lifetime.